Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Did you know that Congress once printed Bibles? At the time of the American Revolution, the British government had strict laws about printing Bibles. Only a few printers were licensed to do that, and none of them was in the American colonies, so all Bibles had to be imported from England. The Revolutionary War naturally interrupted trade with England, and there was a severe shortage of Bibles in America. In 1777, U.S. clergy petitioned the Continental Congress to have Bibles printed in America. In response, Congress passed a resolution to import 20,000 Bibles from Holland, Scotland, and other countries, but in the chaos of the war, they never arrived. So 3 years later, another resolution to print Bibles in America was introduced in Congress, and printer Robert Aiken petitioned Congress for permission to print them. Congress granted him permission plus financial support to print Bibles. His Bibles included an endorsement and recommendation from Congress on the first page. More American versions of the Bible were printed soon after. In the United States, printers had the freedom to print the scriptures freely, without government approval. This was a radically different situation from what they had been used to under British rule, and it was a great victory for religious freedom. We now live in a country where prayer and Bible readings in public schools have been outlawed by the Supreme Court for over 50 years. We're told it's a violation of the Constitution to display the Ten Commandments in a county courthouse or to have a nativity scene at City Hall. But interestingly, the Continental Congress did not consider for a moment whether their appropriation to print the Bible was an affront to religious freedom. They knew it was not. When we look at changes in America, we should be concerned about our loss of religious liberty.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must keep America back as liberty weeps. Our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this 25th day of November 2014. And I usually have Andy Hoffman on, what is this, the third Tuesday of the month, fourth, this is the fourth one. That he will be joining us next month in his regularly scheduled time. Today, however, I am not going to be talking about Ferguson, Missouri, except to say this. Renee from North Carolina, you were right. That was a false story that was planted about Officer Wilson getting beat up and his eye socket fractured. My deference to you, dear lady. All right. On today's program, you might have heard this guy on this network before. His name is Clint Richardson. And I also have TJ McCann on from Pennsylvania. And what we're going to be talking about today and trying to make some sense of what is going on out there in the courts, with the common law juries, you know the drill. I was going to try to have Eric Madsen on today, but you know what I thought? No, we've got to have a rudimentary understanding of what we're dealing with. And when you think you know what you're dealing with, somebody dives down a rabbit hole, does extensive research, goes in, ferrets out the real and true meanings of the words being used, and then you find out what you thought was real, what you knew, wasn't really what you actually thought it was. It's like the Matrix, folks. It has been created, it is controlled and manipulated, and we are but small bit players in the Matrix. And as long as we behave ourselves, we're pretty much left alone. Well, how should I say, qualify alone? If you go along to get along, you'll survive as long as the powers that be want you to survive. You have no cause of action. You have no grievance. You have no input. You are just there. Do I have TJ?
Indeed, I'm here.
Hello,
TJ. Howdy, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
And Clint Richardson, are you there, sir?
Yes, welcome to your show.
Guys, I guess the way to start this is Rod Class gun case in Washington, D.C. And Rod Class, I will not say anything bad about the man and what he's trying to do, because what we're trying, we, by way of extension, I guess, if we're patriots and we want to see the best and the Constitution restored in this country, these people are working towards ways and avenues in which to accomplish that. We also have a guy by the name of Terry, I do believe his name is Trammell, down in Florida. And TJ, you put me on to this one. Looks like they're going to try to lock this guy up in jail for the rest of his life, because he was on a grand jury down there, an impaneled grand jury, and then kind of misused his post to supplant that grand jury in Florida in the Third Circuit with the common law grand jury. And yeah, they didn't like that.
Yeah, he did some things that were ill-advised. And I knew of Terry Trussell because I had some limited involvement with Operation American Spring, and that I was really hoping that would be a movement that could force some restoration of the Constitution. And I did whatever little part I could to try to get that movement to rely more heavily on references to the Constitution. And Terry Trussell was a member there, and I knew of him vaguely, although didn't have any really direct interactions with him.
Yeah, well, who was the colonel who was heading this thing up?
Colonel Harry Riley.
Yeah, and the one thing, excuse me, gentlemen, the one thing that I didn't like about this is we were all show up in Washington, D.C., million or millions, plural, strong, and we all go there armed.
Yeah, he was that, and then there was also plans to have militia on the shores of Virginia, obviously not to go into D.C. in case things should hit the fan. But what really bothered me was the Phase 3 plan that involved setting up a tribunal. And he had a list of like 8 or 10 names of persons in government currently whose ideals he liked. He said the tribunal should be staffed with people of the ideals such as so-and-so and so-and-so. And the problem was there's no place in the Constitution for this tribunal to be set up. The government hasn't set up this court and its authority to run the government while the government is being restructured. And so basically that tribunal would be something taken right out of the military martial law handbook, and it, you know, by definition is entirely outside of the Constitution. So how are you restoring the Constitution by a process that essentially rejects the Constitution?
Well, and here's what I've gleaned so far, and I think I even said this to you, Clint, that back in the day when we were starting this country, we knew we didn't want to be under the king's rule, so we were starting a whole new rule, so to speak. And it was easier to build something anew than fast forward to today. We're trying, in our best hopes and beliefs, to restore the constitutional republic. But that's going to be a little bit harder, because my problem has been with this organization or that organization or just Eric Mattson. And again, I don't want to speak ill of people, and I don't want people to get the impression that I think, because I don't agree with them, that they're not doing the right thing. The spirit is there. I can appreciate and understand that. But a proper course of action, what we're trying to do is unseat what we have determined to be the de facto with the de jure. And that is, and where's our avenue to do that? Where's the bureaucrat's office that I go and sit down and have my grievances and address those, and then get hard, concrete answers to that? What bureaucrat and what agency do I talk to? Where is my redress of government? They're trying to do it through the courts, of which I can understand. But the courts aren't having any of it.
But yeah, part of the problem, and we touched on this when we were talking earlier, John, is that what we have is institutionalized corruption. And so there really is no singular person or authority to confront and charge with fixing things. Even the Supreme Court operates by precedent, which is a built-up of a series of corruptions over time.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we've got to take the break here. I don't know if you can hear the bump there, Clint. If not, we'll beef up the return to you. T.J. McCann, Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation, which just happens to be on this network, from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, Monday.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have. It's Cells Alive Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Clint, I'm compelled to do this to try to set the stage here. And I want people to understand that some people have called us truthers. Well, that's more connected with 9/11. Other people, constitutionalists. Well, there were problems with the Constitution that were big enough you could drive a tractor trailer through sideways, and people want to disavow themselves from that. What we have What we have here is a failure to communicate. No. What we have here is a construct of man's imagination. And without getting too Rod Serling and Twilight Zone on you, I have done something in my life that has changed my perspective on just about everything that I see and hear. And that's simply this. And I related this story to you earlier today, Clint. And on my laptop, not my operating system, but, you know, when you turn on your computer, you can put whatever background screen that you want. Well, the one that I chose was from 2003, the Hubble Space Telescope, with the deep field photographs that they did. Now, what they did is they looked for a point in space. Now, we're in the Milky Way galaxy, a spiral galaxy, hundreds of billions of stars. And we picked a point in the night sky that looked the darkest. They aimed the satellite at it, took 122 different photo sessions, which was basically time-lapse photography, to bring out light. Now, to give you an idea of how big this little area of the universe was, you've got your arm extended, you've got a regular number 2 yellow pencil clenched in your fist. And on top of that is a standard size eraser. That is the area or the field that they photographed 122 times. What they discovered should have set mankind on a future course unlike he has ever known. What they saw was literally 10,000 galaxies dating back to almost the beginning of this universe. And that was representation of 124,000 of the night sky or the universe. Now, just to give you a further indication of how big the universe that we know of, they call it the known universe, is 92 billion years across. Well, in space there's really no up or no down, but 92 billion years across from whatever your vantage point. Now that would mean light traveling at 186,000 miles per second for 92 billion years. And then comes the question, if that's the end, what's on the other side? Which is another question entirely. But I say that, and I took this perspective a couple of years ago, and I started to see how we as human beings, searching, we need to know answers, we have to have facts. This is the way we're wired. But what we have is a rudimentary understanding of the planet we live on and who we are as a species and the world we live in versus a universe that's 12, 13, 14 billion years old. And what I discovered is simply this, gentlemen. When there's a blank space dying to be filled with an answer or a proposition of some sort, we're more than able to fill that void to make ourselves feel more comfortable. I don't know the answer to that, but what I have discovered, gentlemen, is simply this. We don't know a whole hell of a lot about anything, but we pretend that we do. Now, now that's pretty deep stuff, but...
Uh-oh.
That's a big rabbit hole.
Well, see, and you know, the problem, John, the problem is that, see, we are down the rabbit hole. We live our lives in a complete fictional construct. That's called the legal fiction, the law, right? We act as artificial persons. We do things in commercial activity, which commerce stands for traffic. Traffic means commerce, so really it's human trafficking when we talk about commerce. We do everything in a sort of an artificial world, a fictional world. Well, that is the rabbit hole. See, the problem is not that we can't, that we need to go down the rabbit hole. The problem is we're looking for the entrance to the rabbit hole, but we never look up to see that we're already in it.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem, is that we live in under these fictional things, you know, whatever you want to call it. Religion, government, etc., etc., etc. But I was taking some copious notes here, just to give you an example of how much we don't know. Because, you know, I'm a man of terms. I started studying language you know, found out that the legal language means something completely opposite than the vernacular or common language. So let me give you some definitions. Now, why don't I like common law, for instance? What is common law? Well, let's separate terms. We know what law is. Law can be basically anything if you put a word in front of it. So what does common mean? Well, you know, basically belonging to, you know, equally to more than one, etc., etc., the common privileges of citizens, etc. But what it really means is the terms general and public are part of that, universal. Okay, what else? If we keep looking. Oh, okay, this is out of Webster's 1828 dictionary. Common means prostitute, lewd. Oh, wow, I don't know if I want to do that, but as a citizen, that's what I'm doing. I'm being a prostitute. I'm going under the government's fiction. What else does it mean? Usual, ordinary. Oh, vulgar. Oh, the mass of illiterates. Oh, so the people, the general public, the people and public are referring, and common are referring to the mass of illiterates. You see, we need to be governed. We need to be forced into a citizenship, state of servitude, a state of citizenship to a law created by man because we're not responsible enough to have our own law, to define our own terms, and to live in sort of this do no harm concept of the laws of nature. So when you tell me that I should be under common law or that I should have a common law court, I tell you, Well, no way.
And Clint, and what you did earlier today, and folks, excuse me, you weren't part of that conversation that went on for 50-some minutes, but Mr. Richardson here just flat blew me away because he kept asking me, do you understand the definition of this word? And I would have to admit, no, I don't. I felt like I was being schooled because I was. And some people, Clint, will look at this. Seriously, some people will look at this. Oh, well, words, that's just semantics. No, it is not. Not in the rule of law. There is no error for equivocation. It is exact. No. It means exactly what they say it means, but we do not understand how that terminology is being used.
Sure, so you consider it an art form. They call it terms of art. Well, the legal language is a term of art. The language of biologists and doctors and scientists and all the different art forms or artifices out there all have their own terms of art. So if I'm going to talk to a botanist, I'd prefer to know their language. Well, if I'm going to speak as if I know what the heck I'm doing, I'm going to have to know the legal language, which, by the way, is pretty much the complete opposite of the vernacular, or what's called the common, vulgar, massive illiterate language that we use, the language of emotion and love and all those things. Well, the legal language doesn't have any morals, ethics, or values. No, it assigns artificiality to everything. So one of the other words you used was arms. Guns. And love. Finish that when we get back.
All right, and TJ, I want to bring up what you had asked me about. When was the country basically flipped? And I think we pretty much agreed that it was after the Civil War. So we'll go into that as well. And folks, we will open up the phones, but only into the next hour. If you call in now, I'm going to leave you in queue. Back right after this.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called MicroPlant Powder Gold. MicroPlant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make MicroPlant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
We are back, and to be fair to Mr. McCann, TJ, you're in the position of having two radio talk show hosts talking, and you're not used to interjecting, so, but when you must, so do not feel shy.
Just reach out and digitally slap us.
There you go. But first, right. Which segues me into this, you were saying, Clint.
Well, okay. So, see, it's the fact that we don't actually have our terms defined as what we're acting. So we're acting as citizens of the United States. Well, those aren't the same kind of citizens that that was back, you know, in the day of the Constitution when the Constitution wasn't suspended, which it is, and we'll talk about that later. So we have to know what the word arms actually means. One of the greatest fallacies of our time is the notion, and I call it the common or vulgar notion, that arms just means guns. Now, if you think about that for a moment, you'll realize how ridiculous that is. Now, when we look up the term arms, and I go specifically to Bouvier's 1856 Law Dictionary, because that dictionary was specifically chartered by Congress to be the dictionary to go to when you want to know the terms of the Constitution and what they mean. Okay?
And that left a hole in Webster's heart, I can tell you.
Yeah. So if we look up the word arms, first, if we look at the Constitution, the Constitution is very clear with certain terms. They will capitalize certain terms, and arms is one of those terms that is capitalized, and that means it's a proper noun and not just a general vulgar noun. All right? So what is arms defined as? One definition says anything that a man wears for his defense, or takes in his hands, or uses in anger, etc., etc. The Constitution says that we have well-regulated militia, and therefore they need to keep and bear arms. But again, arms is capitalized. So what does that mean? Well, let's go to the next definition. Arms means heraldry. Signs of arms are drawings painted on shields, banners, and the like. The arms of the United States are described in the resolution of Congress of June 20th, 1782. Just go ahead and read the seal of the United States. So we go to the seal of the United States. We see that it says the seal used by the United States in Congress assembled shall be the seal of the United States, meaning that it is the arms of the United States. Oh, and it explains e pluribus unum, annuit conceptus, novus ordo seclorum, welcome to the new order, basically. E pluribus unum, out of many one, which means you have a dictator, one body corporate. You know, all these things. So what is arms if it's heraldry? Oh, so we have the right to bear our family name over that of the United States. You see, when you become a citizen, you become enfranchised. You give up your right to bear arms. You give up all of your inheritable rights. You become a citizen. You become common. You become vulgar. Heraldry is genealogy. The blazoning of arms and ensigns memorial is genealogy. You see, the right to bear arms should be protected by guns. Your right to bear arms has nothing to do with carrying guns. You carry guns to protect all of your rights. You don't have a right to granted by government to carry arms. You carry arms for the purpose of protecting your right to bear arms. Does that, you know?
Yeah.
So our terms are so wrong when it comes to these things. So you got a guy going to court calling it gun rights when the concept of the right to bear arms meant that we had a militia of the state. They bore state arms. They bore the symbol of the state or the symbol of their community, and they fought against any centralized government by having the right of inheritable rights, the right of family, the right of ensigns memorial. This is why the arms of the United States, those aren't guns. It's the seal of the United States. That is the United States arms.
Right.
And Clint, let me ask you, if this is true, then what about the founder statements in the Federalist Papers or the statements they made independently that the purpose, the importance of our right to keep and bear arms is to protect us from a tyrannous government? They're obviously not talking about some sort of emblem or shield.
Absolutely, that's what they're talking about. Absolutely.
Crest is going to protect me from a tyrannous government?
You have to contemplate what it means before you can understand what it means. You have to really think about it. And you have to look it up in the dictionaries, and you have to define the terms. Well, okay, answer me this. Why did they, what does the militia have to do with the right to bear arms? I mean, why did they put...
Back then, the militia, the people of a community, and anybody
protected
that was of age to protect the community, right, they were to protect themselves. And
how did they do that? Do you think they did that while wearing the American flag?
Of course not. But they didn't do that by raising their clan crest up in the air.
Right. Well, actually, the state flag or the flag of their community or whatever. So what happened to the militia?
These were farmers that brought their own guns, and they banded together. Sometimes they drilled together on the village green.
They weren't regarding the right to do that from the United States. They were doing that as a right granted from God, from the natural law to protect your rights to not be harmed. What happened to the militia? got turned into the National Guard. What insignia, what arm do they bear? Bear means to carry. Insignia of the United States. That's why the militia is so important. That's why the ability for the militia to carry their particular arms, to bear the right arms against the United States, is so important.
Because this was, TJ, this was a confederation of states. It is us that formed the federal government, and they had their rules, and they were hard and fast rules of the Constitutional Republic. Here is the box that you're in, and you're not allowed to get out of that box. And this is going to be part of the discussion today. I don't want to get too bogged down with terminologies or any confluence of any sort, but only to say this. We created the federal government. We created not a centralized government, but a government with very strict, don't color outside the lines parameters. What has happened since then is, well, we've had many things that have happened. We had a civil war, of which the South, Texas, and all those that were on the South side lost. We had Reconstruction. We had a new definition of citizenship. But more importantly, what we ended up with was the wet dream of the Federalist. They wanted centralized power, or they wanted a central government. And that's what we have today. Not the United States of America, the United States.
The Federalists, this is kind of a misperception. The Federalists didn't want an all-powerful federal government. What they wanted was to marginally increase the federal government.
But to have the influence over the states in venues that they thought that they were smarter than the states were.
Well, those venues were only the things that the states themselves could not individually exercise, such as the right to coin currency, or the right to negotiate treaties, or the right to raise an army for the defense of all the states,
or the responsibility to guard our borders.
Which isn't happening.
Yeah.
By the way, Clint, I heard you last night talking about signature and nature and things like that, and I found it interesting that you brought up common law, because I just went on an internet rant talking about common law and misperceptions about the quote-unquote common law grand jury. The common law is really just the cumulative decisions of the courts, as far as general practice and application that have not been written down in any sort of statute.
Or common use, yeah.
Yeah, in some respects, you can look at it as basically the practice for the commoner, which the House of Lords and the House of Commons did not turn into statute. It's generally things that a philosophy that is kind of a catch-all for them to reference, but it really doesn't have anything to do with our rights. It doesn't have anything to do with protecting our rights. We inherited it from Britain, being British colonies. Upon inheriting it, the only place that it was really recognized was in early state practices, and never in the federal constitution. In 2009, Antonin Scalia said that the common law is no more. He was talking to the Federalist Society and said the common law is no more.
TJ, hold that thought. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
We are back talking with T.J. McCann from Pennsylvania, Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation. By the way, Clint, I want to reserve about 5 minutes at the end of today's broadcast for you and I to have a little conversation directed at the listening audience. T.J., we got interrupted by that crass commercialism. Go ahead. T.J., you got to take your mute off.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
There you
are. I was trying to find it.
Dead air.
Yeah. Back in 2009, Scalia said to the Federalist Society at a meeting in Washington, he said, the common law is gone. The federal courts never applied the common law. And even in the state courts, it's codified now. But back as early as the ratification of the Constitution, George Mason, called the father of the Bill of Rights and considered one of the founding fathers, stated at that time, during the Virginia ratification that in 1788 that the common law of England is not the common law of these states. So basically we've got a misperception about what's going on with the common law. And in fact, Terry Trussell seems to have been operating under a misperception in his actions in Florida regarding the significance of that common law jury that he went and formed while he was the foreman of another state grand jury, and this created a conflict of interest at minimal.
Well, let me just say one thing now. Again, we'll talk about this and prove it, but the important thing to know is that we are operating under a de facto government, okay? I think everybody in the listening audience kind of understands that that means illegitimate. It means it is something that is acting as government when it actually has no authority or jurisdiction to do so, which means that the only way it can do that is to operate through force, okay? And that means basically that it operates out of the executive branch. Executive simply means force. Your sheriff is the executive of the county. He is in charge of the force. The courts wouldn't exist without the sheriff there to make sure and bump some heads. The prisons wouldn't exist without the sheriff and the marshals, which are the executive branch of government, okay? Likewise, the president is the executive. He's in charge of the military. Now, it's very important to know that we cannot commit treason against this imposer government. I can't remember what definition it was that I found that, but I started realizing that the reason that they don't ever use treason anymore is because they are in treason. The government that stands right now is actually the treasonous government, de facto, illegitimate, illegal, unlawful, whatever you want to call it. So I looked up some words. I'm saying, well, they call us words like terrorists or insurgents or whatever, but they never actually use the word treason because you cannot stand in treason against something that is illegitimate, illegal, unlawful. There's no treason. So what is an insurgent? All right? Again, from Bouvier's. An insurgent is one who is concerned in an insurrection. He differs from a rebel, because a rebel is always understood in a bad sense, or one who unjustly opposes the constituted authorities. Insurgent may be one who justly opposes or lawfully opposes the tyranny of constituted authorities. All right, so the colonists who opposed the tyranny of the English government were insurgents. Wow. So every time we go over, a president uses an executive order instead of a declaration of war, uses his soldiers to go over and inhabit, occupy, attack another country, he calls them what? Oh, those insurgents are coming after us. Oh, well, who are the insurgents? Yeah, those are the people that live there, that are opposed to the attacking force, the illegitimate attacking force. Folks, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's what the United States, that central government thing, that corporate body, it's acting under military occupation. And for that, we'll get into the Libra Code and the state of emergency and all that. But I want you to understand there is no such thing as treason against this imposer actor government that we have. And it's very clear when you actually study what treason is, because treason, how can you commit treason against something that is unlawful?
The problem with using the terms de facto and de jure governments to distinguish what's going on is those terms were originally set apart to differentiate when, for instance, a country has a coup and the legitimate government flees to somewhere else. And they are the de jure government. They are the rightful government. And then what's left behind, what takes over, is the de facto government.
That's exactly what's happening.
Well, we can't really point to anything and say this is the
I can't.
The de jure government.
I can't.
And
DJ,
let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. All right, we have the original post office. which has been there since Franklin's days. And we have the United States Postal Service, which is a corporate body to offer us a service as customers. So which one do I want to use? Do I want to use the Postal Service as a member of the nation, or do I want to be a customer to government? You know, if you notice, the government calls us customers in almost everything that we get from it now. Right? That's because we don't acknowledge the government that's just sitting there unoccupied. So you go to the post office, you go up to the desk, and you ask them where the actual post office is. And I just got a letter here from someone who sent me a donation. And this is what the letter says. It has a 3-cent stamp on it, because that's all it costs to send a letter in the post office. If you're not sending it first class, and you're not falling for all the tricks, the corporate tricks, the for-profit system that's set up over the actual United States of America. So 3-cent stamp, and then it costs 6 cents per ounce to send a package. That's it. Here's what it says. It's addressed to me, non-domestic. All right? Not domestic. Without the United States. So not within the United States. The post office wasn't set up in this current quote-unquote United States corporation. So it's without the United States. Care of my address. It's sent from non-domestic without the United States. And here's the little wavy line saying that, yes, indeed, 3 cents is all it takes. The government is sitting there virtually not being used. When you go to court, you can find it there, too, because it has to be there for the de facto to exist over the de jure. Okay? To find it, you have to go through the court clerk. Not the clerk of the court, because that's just a secretary. You have to go to the court clerk, who is in charge of the whole court, including the judges, has the highest bond, and the court clerk can actually issue a default judgment without a judge. That is the de jure notion of government. So it exists. It is there, but it has retreated until we actually do something about it. Not our government, because we always want our government to fix things for us. That's why I'm saying we need to bear our arms. We need to say no more central corporation taking over the notion of a compact between states.
The de jure government is the court clerk?
Court clerk on the court of record. But we don't have judges. We have
Where'd the rest of the government go?
What do you mean, where did the rest of the government go?
Well, the rest of the legitimate government that was replaced by the de facto government. We can't just have court clerks surviving from that. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is the fact that, and John kind of touched on this earlier, is we have been corrupted by degrees. There was no singular event that took over and replaced a constitution with another constitution, and no legitimate government that was replaced by an illegitimate government.
Well, there again, that's not true. I'm sorry to disagree with you and do so with fact, but let me read you the Nevada State Constitution. Now, all constitutions had to be redone.
That constitution was written by martial law government under Lincoln and includes additions that are contrary to the constitution. That represents a deviation from the constitution. For instance, the federal government had no authority.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, we have to take top of the hour break, and just in time. My head was starting to hurt. But we'll continue this conversation on the other side of the top of the hour break. My guest today, Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation. If you haven't heard the show, you need to really listen in. He, like others, are giving up a lot to do what we are compelled to do. TJ McCann from Pennsylvania, stand by, second hour coming up, and I will give the signal when the time is to open up the phone line. So everybody hang in there, back in six.